Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
You're listening to Believe You Me with Michael the Count Bisbing.
You know my name yet?
And Anthony Lionheart Smith.
We can keep him.
We're going to keep him. Just give me a sound check there, Mr. Smith.
Check 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Oh, you sound sexy. You sound great. Mike Harrington, please. Can we get a sound check from you? Harrington?
This is how we're starting our show.
Yeah, this is how we're starting the show. God damn it. What's going on with you?
Yeah. I mean,
get off. No. Get off the screen. Come on, off your pop. And before, shut those doors, Rebecca. And before I'm live on a podcast, sweetheart, she's coming in to tell me that something's been delivered. I'm like, I don't know if you know this, babe, but I do a podcast from home. You can't just waltz in. And Harrington, listen, first of all, we've got to say this, Anthony. First of all, welcome to the show, Mr. Smith. Good to see you again, buddy.
Yeah. I missed one show. I'm in his balls deep in training camp. And
oh, of course.
This one, that's all right. Yeah, I'm happy to be back, though. I was really excited all day to come back and do this. It's weird when you miss one and you feel lost. I'm not lying. I'm excited.
Well, bless you. Well, good. I'm glad. Well, we've got Adrian Yanez joining us shortly as well. He was a badass. He'll be in action next weekend. You know what the big news is, and it's a shame because Harrington, I'm not throwing Gas Digital Network under the bus. They've gone off on a retreat. They've gone off to Jamaica. They do it every single year. And the man they leave behind to hold the fort is Mike Harrington. Do you know what I mean? Who has no technical capabilities whatsoever. Very good at his job. Knows mixed martial arts. Love what he brings to the table. We all love his involvement in the show. But a technical master in a studio, he is not. Harrington.
Not so much.
Just come on, because we know he's beavering backstage, going, losing his mind. Harrington, can we get a sound check, please?
Oh, I'm losing my mind.
Lose it elsewhere.
Oh, that's awful.
When you figure it out, you can come back. It's a shame for Harrington because, of course, we've got a lot to talk to him about today because the birth of his daughter, Aura Jane Harrington, has happened.
It is a damn shame because I want to hear the story. I want to know what had happened. I want to know how many bites of placenta he took. I want his like input on his experience.
I mean, listen. I'm not ripping the piss out of Harrington, but like you got the text before. I'm sitting here, I'm waiting. There's no link, right? Mm-hmm. Harrington's coming at us through like some time machine from the other side of the world. The stress of being a father's already got to him. And then he's communicating with us only via email because whilst the baby was arriving, he lost his phone in the hospital.
Phone? How do you do that? It's like, he's already falling apart as a parent.
You're not giving birth, okay? Alex was the one that went through the trauma, the pain, had to endure, you know, all of that good stuff. But no, Harrington loses his phone, the podcast falls apart, and he's coming at us through an echo chamber. Jesus, Harrington. And people wonder why we give him abuse.
Happy Thursday.
So we compiled some notes, Anthony. I don't know what to start with, but we're going to start with this. It's not necessarily MMA. Well, it's not MMA at all. It's a non-MMA. It's doing the rounds. And Dan Hooker has taken exception to this. A lot of people have. Have you seen? You know where I'm going to go. You're nodding your head, right?
Yeah. I've seen Dan Hooker,
Little Hasbullah. Hasbullah's out there. I don't know. People are calling for Hasbullah to be cancelled for abusing a cat. Now, here's the first test of the day. Harrington, can you play the video? If he's even listening, he's probably looking at pictures of Aura. Looking at her beautiful Aura.
We're waiting, Harrington. This is you.
We are
this
waiting.
This is your moment.
This is a shit show.
This is your moment.
in more ways than once. Look at that.
He's probably up and left.
He's running around the studio, losing his mind. He's on the phone. He thinks that we're breaking down some fights next weekend. Doesn't know that we're throwing to Hasbulla already. So, all right, we're going to go back to that later. Oh, there he is. Make it full screen if you can, Harry.
What? You little fucking prick.
That cat was terrified as well.
That fucking bothers me a lot. I know I'm not supposed to be cussing so early. Sorry. That it really bothers me. Like, I'm not even a person that calls for people to get canceled. That's not my thing. Like, whatever. But this might be one of those moments. Like, I don't even like cats. Like, you can't. I don't know. It's like some serial killer shit.
I am not into the whole cancel culture type of thing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not at all. So I'm not calling for anyone to be canceled. I didn't like what I saw. Of course, that's a dickhead. Yeah, no, it is. Now, granted, we don't know the full situation. Perhaps maybe the cat just shit all over his apartment. You know what I mean? If he has an apartment, I don't know what Hasbulla lives in. A shoe. All right, maybe it's shit in his shoe.
A shoe. Okay. He lives in a shoe.
Yeah, he's got a fucking gigantic palace. It's a car. No, but you know what I mean. But even still, why on earth would you film that?
Abuse the cat,
hit the cat, certainly in this day and age. I mean, you can go out and beat up someone all day long and you will not get people coming at you as much as beating up or touching a cat or a dog or anything like that. And then put it on your social media. I mean, yeah. Who
do we have a translation? Do we have a translation for what he's saying? I don't think I've ever seen one.
Well, we haven't even got a producer on this show, so
That's true. We're not going to find it, that's for sure.
Guaranteed we have not got a translator. You know, like on the news, you see, there's homeless people everywhere. There's people dying all the time, and there's sadness and tragedy and people losing their homes and tornadoes. We talked about that on Monday's show, which is awful. But if a dog goes missing or if a cat or something like that, that's a real tragedy on the local news in California. And I'm like, get a grip. Listen, I love cats and dogs. I think I like humans more. And I value their lives a little bit more, but Hasbulla.
I don't know if I agree with that all the time.
Oh, really? Well, humans are dickheads.
Okay, so I'm here in Denver, right? And I'm gonna get fucking roasted for this. This is gonna be a headline on everyanime.com. Yeah, I'm gonna get roasted for this. There's a lot of homeless people here in Denver. There is a shit ton of them. No matter where you go, I mean, my apartment complex is in a pretty nice place, but. You go a block any direction and there's homeless people. And I feel really bad for those people. Like I truly
you
do.
Don't.
But you know what I feel worse for? The homeless people that have dogs. I always find myself like feeling so bad for the dog. Like I get it. Like you're a grown ass man holding a sign. You can stand there all day and hold a sign. I feel like there's other things you could do to make some money. But your dog, your skinny ass, ribs showing outside of his body dog, like he didn't ask for that shit. Like I always just want to open my door, like give me the fucking dog, give me the dog, you do what you got to do, I'll take the dog.
I do hear what you're saying, because humans, you know, sometimes they're partly to blame for the circumstances, often they're not. Often there's mental illness or abusive situations or drugs and alcohol and all kinds of stuff. You know, you take your pick. There's many, many different reasons. But I will say this, the dog is an effective tool, because when you see him with the dog, you're like, oh, come on then. Contrary to what I just said, you do feel sorrier for the dog than the person.
I do.
It's like that
fucking, a lot.
Little Fido, Jesus, come on here, have some spare ribs. But I don't know. What was your initial point that you feel?
Sometimes I find myself more drawn to animals. Like I care more about animals. Like even, I don't know, you see these natural disasters, what they always show. They show the torn down houses and the flooded streets, and then always the little dog running across the screen.
Yeah, but
like,
those dogs.
And everyone's like, oh my God, look at the dog.
Yeah, but you know what? Those dogs are okay. You know, like, you know, dogs, German Shepherds, for example, they're used to roaming. They have massive coats of hair. They have coats.
That's fair.
They are designed to withstand you know, minus 30 degree temperature. Oh no, my little Harry's goddamn useless. He won't even go outside. Seriously, it's still raining in California. We open the door for him to have a piss and he goes out and he puts one little paw out, right? He's like, and he's like, he comes back in. I'm like, don't piss in here, you'll get the Hasbulla treatment. But Hasbulla, what are you doing? What on earth are you doing in this day and age? And then puts it on social media. What a fool.
He's got a whole team around him. No one thought that was a bad idea to post that on social media. He's never alone. He's always got like 9 camera people with him. Like,
he's always got a crew. Yeah.
He's got a whole crew. No one thought like, hey guys, maybe we don't post that.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Yeah. Never a good, well, number one, don't abuse animals. I don't think anyone condones or even isn't bothered by animal abuse. You know what I'm saying? All jokes aside, that's just ridiculous. So to put it on social media, I mean, what is he doing? Yeah. I mean, who knows? Maybe in Russian he's saying, you don't understand, this cat just fucking attacked my grandma. It shit all over the house. It keeps attacking me. So I'm putting it in its place and I'm giving it a little pinch in its ear and giving him a little jab. But I don't think it is.
That's probably not it.
I don't think he is saying that. I don't think it is. You know, but you got to really understand this, though. You know, like, you might say that that's cruel for Hasbulla to do that, and you're right. But look at yourself from Hasbulla's point of view. That's like Hasbulla fucking taking on a lion.
Oh, fucking great.
He should be commended for his bravery. If you were fucking, if the Lionheart was having a fucking fist up with a fucking lion, or
it'd be about the same size as that cat to Hasbulla.
Do you know what I mean? Jesus Christ.
Oh, man.
You know what I mean? He should be commended for his bravery. The lion tamer.
That cat's 70% the size of him.
Oh, shit. All right. We better get off this. We're upsetting somebody.
And it's fun for sure.
Oh, for 100%. Sure. Let's have a look. UFC reportedly, this is the news. This is what Harwich has got in here. It's, by the way, it's not the things that I said. So, like, I'm looking at it. I would know what I said to put it in there. But this weekend, there's no UFC action. We have got UFC 287 next weekend. We'll start with a couple of things related to that. Did you see that Izzy said this is his last shot?
I did see that.
What do you think?
I mean, I don't know that I would, if I was him, if I had put that much pressure on myself to make it this huge, I don't know, huge moment. You know what I mean? Like, I actually talked to my team about this here in Denver just the other day. And I think sometimes we take fighting way too goddamn serious. And I know it's serious and it's dangerous.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever. But we fight, tomorrow's our Friday sparring. There's a whole entire fight card that gets listed on the wall. They write it in chalk. They write the whole fight card. It goes early prelims, main card, right? And that's how we do it. And then everyone else is kind of sparring on the open mat. But when it's time for your rounds, like, you go in and however many of the coaches have decided you're going to do that day, that's how many you do. So we just go in and we just spar, and it's pretty intense, and it's that's our heavy sparring day, and that's how we do it. So it's not that big of a deal, though. We just go, we look at our name on the board, we pay attention when we're up, we go in, we fight it out, and then we leave. But when you get into fights, like, you get into the UFC and there's the fight week starts on Tuesday. You got to fly in and then you sign the posters and then you sign all your paperwork. And then Wednesday, you got your interviews and your photo shoots and the media and then the media day. And it's this huge production, you know, it's this big circus. And then you get to the fight and it's all the fans and the lights and the music and the cameras and, you know, it's the waiting game. And it just has been built throughout this time as this huge ordeal. It's not really that big of a deal. We do the same shit every single day in practice. So I think, the long story short, I think by Izzy putting that pressure on, this is the last one, this is my last shot, this is my last opportunity to get one over on him, he's building that even bigger. Like, you've already fought the guy.
Well, he's also hyping the fight as well. Let's be honest.
That's fair. Yeah. I hope that he's not making it bigger in his head than it is. It's just a fist fight on a Saturday night. Just go in and do it. You do the same thing with equally as tough guys. Like, I've never been in a fight aside from the Glover Teixeira one that was harder than I've trained for. It's just never happened. I've never had a fight that's as tough as I've been in practice. So I would suspect that Izzy's putting himself in the same position. So I the mindset scares me a little bit. But on the flip side of that, you know, I'm sure when you were getting ready to fight for the title, or when you were defending your title, or when you're getting ready for Anderson, because you felt like this is your moment, this is the biggest fight of my life, this is what I've, you know, I've heard all these clips of you talking about Anderson, you probably trained harder for that than you ever trained in your entire fucking life. So making it such a big deal could be, I think that made you a better fighter, probably made you more dangerous and more prepared. So I think there's two sides to that coin, I guess.
Yeah, no, there is two sides, and there's two sides to me and you right now, and I'm on the wrong one. Harrington, switch us over, because if I look at the screen, I'm looking away from Mr. Smith, whereas if I was on the other side, I'd be looking at you. Like, I was really intrigued and interested. So, Harrington, if you're there, he switches over, give us a little switcheroo, a little that. 180. All right, so Harrington put in the sidebar here. This is the actual quote from Izzy. He says, "I'm hunting, and I mean that in every sense of the word. The mindset is different, definitely. Even Coach Eugene and I are on the same page. The mindset is definitely different. I like it because it puts it all on me, and it's kind of poetic in a way," he concluded. "One life, roll the dice. This is my last shot, and I'm going to give it my all. I've got it. I've got it in every sense of the word." So to elaborate on what you said, or to continue the conversation with what you were saying, and just to give the exact quote for people that haven't seen what Izzy said, you're right. You know, if you can simplify it in your own mind and look at it as just a fight in the gym, that is the perfect thing to do, to go out there and try and have some fun and not overcomplicate it in your mind. But also at the same time, you know, there is a lot riding on it. You know, there's legacy for Israel Adesanya. I think when he says this is my last shot, I think he means not his last shot at ever being the champ again, or his last shot of being the UFC, you know, superstar. It means last shot in beating Alex Pereira, who has been the bogeyman of his career. He has been the kryptonite. And this will be his fourth time. You know what I mean? And you lose four times in a row. You lose two times in a row in the UFC as well. You're not going to get that third shot. The rubber match, you have to win one apiece. You know what I'm saying? So I have to switch it over if you haven't done yet. Baby or no baby, I will whoop your ass. he's backstage freaking out going, "I don't have the capability." So I understand him putting that kind of pressure on him, but I don't think he's putting pressure on himself, not to disagree, just to have a conversation. I think he understands. If he doesn't beat Pereira this time, then that is... Oh, look at that.
Oh, there we go. Switcheroo.
I'm right at you. I'm interested. I'm looking at you. I'm paying attention. No, I think it's more like, I've got to beat him this time. Otherwise, as DC said when he lost to John Jones the second time by a head kick, which is one of the most brutally honest moments, especially from a guy that was just knocked out, unconscious. And they always say you shouldn't interview the people that have been knocked out. Mm-hmm. And he was like crying. He said, I think Rogan mentioned something about a rivalry. And DC, whilst fighting back tears and some were escaping his eyes, said, "There is no rivalry. There is no rivalry. This man has beaten me multiple times," something like that. So I think that's his point. And I think that's why he's putting pressure on himself, because you know, Anthony, and I know, one of the things that I prided myself, certainly when I was younger, not now, is that I still think it now, I'm one of the baddest mother effers on the planet. Do you know what I mean? And you pride yourself in that. That's why we do it. And I say it a lot when I'm commentating, and I'll let you get in right now. This will be my final thought. You know, yeah, when you're fighting someone, you want to win. You want to be the victor. You want to proceed up the rankings. You want to get your paycheck and all the rest of it. But man to man, I want you to know that I can beat you, and I'm the better fighter, and I always will be. And this is his last shot of getting to change the narrative that Alex Pereira is by far a better striker and a better fighter than Israel Adesanya ever was.
Yeah, yeah. I do like that he's talking about the mindset of like hunting. Like, because one of the things that I did notice in their last fight is Izzy fought totally different, not totally different, but he fought a little bit different than he typically does. He was much more cautious. He was not nearly as, I don't know, it's just attacks weren't as diverse. He wasn't as, I don't know. I didn't see the magic. I didn't see the magic. And even though I can say all those things. He's still winning that fight though, up until the finish. He's, you know, he just needs to make it to that round and he wins that fight. So even then he still is winning the fight on the scorecards. But I like that he said he's hunting, because he wasn't hunting in his last fight. It didn't seem like that. In the Robert Whittaker fight, he was always hunting when he was fighting. Maybe not so much Yoel, but definitely like in the Paulo Costa fight, he was hunting for sure. He was imposing his will. And he didn't really do that so much in his last fight. So I think that it would be beneficial for him to maybe not come out and you know, butt heads with Alex and play that who's, you know, like who's tougher game. But I think he needs to come at him a little bit more and give Pereira something else to look at, because if he just has to defend mediocre attacks and then he can just explode into stuff, he's going to be hard to beat for anybody. So I'm excited to see. I cared less about it a couple weeks ago, to be honest with you.
Well, it's always like that. As it's getting closer, you start to see the promo clips, the countdowns, the embeddeds, and all the rest of it.
Some of the quotes.
The quotes, the interviews, the social media posts.
Pereira making fun of Izzy. Does that bother you at all?
How did he make fun of him?
When he's like making fun of him for the stuffed animals. And he's always watching. Because Izzy always does those streams where they film him watching the fights. Yeah. And then get his reactions and all that stuff. He's a superstar. I mean, I'm sure he gets paid really good for that too. But Pereira's always putting out these clips where he's watching Izzy and like making fun of him. And he's making fun of him for the anime thing and makes fun of him for the stuffed animals or whatever the hell Izzy's into. And sometimes it kind of bothers me that he's making, not that I have any issue with it.
But why? I think, you know, everyone horses for courses. We all like different things. Anime is very popular, not with me, not in my house, but a lot of people like it. It's not my thing. Sean Strickland, that was his thing. I think Pereira's jumping on the back there. I think Pereira's just finding any way he can to make fun of him, to poke the bear, to, you know, to talk some good old fashioned shit.
Yeah. Sometimes I feel bad for Izzy because he's just different. He's a different dude. He's just off the beaten path. He's not your typical fighter. He's not your typical champion. You know,
which is great. Different,
yeah. I love it. I love that. He's very similar to the conversation we had about, who's that jiu-jitsu guy? The guy that twerks.
Oh, Jordan Levitt. Correct.
Jordan Levitt.
Yes.
They're just a little bit eccentric and they're just different. And I like that they're unapologetically themselves. So I don't know. It's just like, damn, man, why are you going to make fun of him for like normal shit? Like make fun of him because you beat him up a bunch of times. Like,
That's always the way as well. You know, like a guy like Izzy that will go out there and have his, what do you call them? The French tips, the fingernails.
Yeah, the fingernails, the pearl necklace.
The pearl necklace, literally. Yeah. And, you know, the flamboyant style, you know, and I don't know what he says.
And the dancing and all that stuff.
And the dancing and all the rest of it.
Right.
But it's that's a man that is confident in himself. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like whenever you're around people and I don't know, they say, that's a very, fruity looking shirt you're wearing there. It's like, I don't care. I'm not trying to posture to anybody. And when it comes to my fighting or whatever, I'm not trying to prove anything. He is 100% himself at all times. And I think that is absolutely phenomenal. I think it's great. Here's Harrington again, because he can't talk to us in the notes, said, Pereira compared him to Grace Jones over the weekend in another video. And it's like, oh, come on. I mean, that's been done to death. Although, there is a similarity between Grace Jones and, you know.
Yes.
We can't pretend that's not a thing. Okay, Manscaped are now selling beard products. That is correct. They've gone from the waist to the face to help you replace that bulky razor and that maybe you've already got like a beard trimmer, but it's got a ton of attachments. Well, that's out the window. This is all sleek, sophisticated. It's got a rotary wheel with 20 hair-cutting lengths. I think that's quite enough. 20 lengths, you can always find your signature beard look. The trimmer has a titanium-coated blade that's tough on the hair, but smooth on your face. It's got a ridiculous battery. They sent me one ages ago, and I say this every time. I'm still using it. I haven't even plugged it in. The downside of that is that I don't know where the charger is because I've never had to use it. I think it's in there. It'll be in my drawer somewhere. It'll be in the lovely little carry case that it came with. But I'm telling you, this thing's fantastic. If you're trimming your face, this is the way to go. And the Beard Hedger Pro kit also comes with the beard shampoo and conditioner. All hair is different, so, you know, maybe it's more coarse or easier to damage. That's why the kit has shampoo and conditioner. It also has a Manscaped beard oil so that, you know, it's you can style it how you want, and it also gives it nutrients because it is infused with nutrients. What else does it have? You get the beard balm, cap it off with that, a pomade that shapes, styles, and moisturizes, bringing the amazing scents of fresh eucalyptus, rosemary, and lavender essential oils. And the Beard Pro Kit, or the Pro Beard Kit, also comes with three free gifts: a beard brush, a comb, and scissors to ensure your beard is ready to impress. Listen, I'm going to give you the call to action right now, but we all know Manscaped, if you've used any of their products, their quality, they're second to none. They really are. And we're going to give you 20% off. Go to manscaped.com. Use the code BISPING20. You're going to get 20% off and free shipping. Free shipping is a good one that knocks the price up all the time. So manscaped.com, BISPING20, that's the code. And yeah, the Beard Hedger Pro Kit. Check it out. So normally at this point, I would say, Harrington, tell us about what such and such has been up to, but I can't because...
How about what Adrian Yanez has been up to, which is hanging out backstage?
Oh. How about you now don't have an echo?
Yeah, figured it out. Look at that. Technical wizard, Mike Harrington.
Jeez Louise. Well, listen, stop wasting up the time of Adrian Yanez and put him on, please. My God. Adrian Yanez.
Hey, how y'all doing?
I'm good, What's up? How we doing?
Man, I'm doing great. The room's a bit messy, but, you know, thank God that y'all, like, put it in a small little square for me. All right, so I didn't have to clean too much.
Well, listen, number one rule, you got to make your bed in the morning. Sit up straight, shoulders back. Have a tidy room. Next time, Yanez, next time, if we ever got a spick and span room in the background, we're going to have a problem, okay?
Oh, yeah, I'm here for it.
Thanks for joining us, buddy. I know you haven't got much time. You're going to go on the school run soon, so we won't keep you too long. We've got a good 10 minutes or so, although we're going to try and squeeze you to 12. We're going to see what happens when Yanez loses his shit. And he's like, I've got to go. You're not listening. Obviously, main card, right? You're on the main card next week. UFC 287, main card, pay-per-view. You and Rob Font. Sensational matchup. For anyone that doesn't know, this man right here, 5-0 in the UFC, 4 stoppages. That's 6 out of 5 if you count the contender. You're absolutely smashing it. How are we feeling ahead of next week?
Man, I am feeling great, feeling fantastic. Honestly, I'm just ready to go step on the scale and just stare him in his face and just be like, you're a cool guy, man, but I gotta fight you, you know.
How do you feel? How do you feel about the Rob Font matchup? I was gonna actually talk about your last fight a little bit. We can circle back to that, but it's a big jump in competition as far as just the level that he's fought at consistently and kind of where you guys are at in the rankings and stuff. But like, were you surprised to get that kind of a matchup?
Not necessarily. I wasn't surprised, but I was surprised when they first were trying to book that fight. Cause after International Fight Week, I got told that they're looking at Rob Font for a future fight. And I was just like, all right, well, let's try to book it. And, at that moment, I was really surprised. I was like, all right, cool. Like, number 6 guy in the world, like, man, that's actually really cool. Like, it's a fun matchup. At the time, I was like, just jumped into the rankings at 15. And I was like, well, I'm cutting my rankings in half going out there and starching the guy. But, honestly, I was expecting to jump up before, after my David Grant fight. I was like expecting like another jump up, like at least like a guy who was in at least the, 15, 14 spot. You know, to fight one of those guys, because that's where I thought where I was at. And then I get the Tony Kelly fight. And then I was like, well, there's...
Was Tony Kelly ranked? Sorry to interrupt.
No, he wasn't ranked at the time, no.
I didn't think so, yeah.
And so after that, I was just kind of just like, I'm probably not going to be in the rankings or anything like that. But then somehow that smoothed me into the rankings. That performance enough gave me enough to be in the spot in the rankings. And then after that, I was just kind of just seeing what everything was happening. I was trying to fight twice last year, but... just how things panned out just didn't work out, but
you probably get a lot of no's, huh?
I didn't expect it, honestly. I was like, man, I was trying to fight in MSG and I was getting told no by a lot of people. And you know,
does that shock you for real? You
seem surprised by that a little. No, bit. It really did shock me. I'd like, because if
have you ever
back,
watched yourself fight?
I've watched myself fight. Yeah, I look at it differently. I look at myself like, how would I kick my own ass? You know, that's how I look at it. You know, so
and
like,
how would you kick your own ass?
You know, a lot of times it's just more just stalling on the fence. If I'm being honest, those are a couple of my losses.
And push you like, up against the fence and try and take you down.
Just hold. Just try to hold me. You know, that's pretty much it, man. But yeah, I was really surprised with the nose that I got, you know, but there's
go ahead. Sorry, my bad. I thought you were done.
Oh yeah. No, the one that I, you know, they gave me a legend name, but I was like, I'm kind of glad I didn't get that one because I didn't want to be the,
oh, we're stirring the pot. Who is it?
we need to know that name, Mr. Yanez.
They gave me Frankie Edgar's name. And then within that same week, I was told no. But they were, I guess they tried to push it, but they said no again. And then, pretty much like, yeah, I was like, here was my thing. I was like, I would love that fight, but in my heart is saying no, but my brain with the paycheck was like, yes, you know, but right. My heart was saying no. Cause I was like, man, I watched Frankie at the 55. Like he's, I don't want to be the guy. I don't want to be Larry Holmes to Muhammad Ali, man. That's how I look at Frankie. So I was like, yeah, it's like, yeah, no, I don't want
to
do that.
You know, you have to give a lot of respect in this situation then to Rob Font, you know, because there's a lot of people, there's a lot of talk about this at lightweight, you know, the people outside of the top five, if you will, not being allowed an opportunity to penetrate and fight those bigger names. Rob Font's been around for a while. You know, he's been a part of some amazing fights. And what you say, number six, did you say?
Yes, sir.
Number six. So that's a huge opportunity from 13 to six, you know. And I think This is all the potential for fight of the night. Obviously, you're a man that gets the job done predominantly with the fists. Feel free to disagree. And Rob Font, when you look at him, he's a guy that's always in fun fights. Even the ones that he's lost, he's always in fun, entertaining fights. He poses problems and threats for a lot of people. Obviously, a long reach. Beautiful hands as well. But how do you see this fight? How do you break it down? How do you get the job done against Rob Font?
Honestly, I just got to get him off of his rhythm, and I had to put him on his back foot. I watched his last couple two fights, his fight with Jose Aldo and then his fight with Chito Vera again, but also kind of that's the level of competition he's been fighting at. So taking little notes here and there. And whenever I watched him, you know, if you put him on his back foot, him on his back foot, it's not the greatest. He's very phenomenal walking down and being the pressure heavy guy. You know, he'll land a lot of shots and he throws in volume, so if I get him on his back foot early, then that's the key to me winning, because I know I can land the shots, I know I can land the shots, but I know he's gonna be hard to finish. So I just got to be forward pressure and be patient. I can't overexert myself, because if I try to go out there and try to sleep him with one or two punches, and next you know I'm in a scramble, because he just somehow, like, you hit him, the guy hits the floor but pops right back up, man. He's just one of those guys that has like a never say die attitude, and he just keeps coming. So I just got to be patient, you know, and then find my openings, you know, kind of be technical for the most part, but find my ways in to find the chin.
I love that. I feel like that's the kind of opposite approach you took versus Tony Kelly. yeah. I was there, and it was absolutely insane. Just the crowd was going insane. It was a lot of fun to watch. How did it feel like when you were in there? Because obviously you were the crowd favorite for sure. How's it feel to sit on something like that?
Man, it felt really good, especially because like during that fight, I was just in that moment. I was, whenever I was walking him down, I was just like, fuck this guy, fuck this guy, fuck this guy, fuck this guy, you know? And then, every single time there's like one exchange right before I actually really like sat down on something where he just started talking shit. And then that's whenever, he threw a kick, and then I just remember just catching him. And then I let off a combination. And after that, I was like, all right, this is my moment. But like fighting with the big crowd around me, you know, was cool. But in that moment, I wasn't feeling it. I was like super dialed in, super focused, because like I knew that I didn't want to be the guy that loses. You know, everybody doesn't want to be the guy that loses to Colby, you know, because he's the big trash talker and all that shit, you know. So nobody wants to be that guy. So for me, I was just like, I'm zoned in, like hyper focused. And then whenever I landed the shots and finished them, it all kind of just like after I just got done flicking him off, the ref was pulling me off, and then the commissioner was like, hey, dude, it's done. I was like, all right, it is done. Okay. I look around. That's when I was like, oh, shit. Like, holy, like, oh, man.
Yeah, this is what we fought
in front of him. Like, holy shit. That was nuts.
Obviously, as we said, Rob Font, you know, you beat him, you're in the elite, and you're closing in on a potential title fight. last weekend, the main event, Chito Vera versus Corey Sandhagen. I want to hear your thoughts on that. And if, and I'm, you know, we're getting one step ahead of yourself and all the rest of it. Give me your thoughts on the main event last weekend. And then if you are fortunate enough to get past Rob Font, and we wish you the best of luck, who do you think you'd want next? Well, give me your thoughts on Chito last week and Sandhagen.
Oh man, Chito and Sandhagen, that was a fun fight. And honestly, for me, I kind of felt it was going to lean towards that way. The way I was explaining it to a lot of people is like the first 2.5 rounds were going to be Corey, and the next 2.5 rounds would honestly favor Chito, just because Chito does start off on the slow end. But Corey did a phenomenal job in like really setting the pace in those first two rounds, shot in for a takedown, started laying a lot of damage, didn't really stay in front of Chito. So he was doing a really good job of maneuvering, not just staying in front of him. And a lot of times, you know, Chito kind of gets into that phase of like, this is where I draw correlations back from, like whenever I see Rob Font fight for versus Rob versus whenever he fought Corey, and he was waiting for that moment. I felt like Chito was waiting for that moment for Corey to kind of stand still so he can let off a combination. You know, is right after the combination, Corey threw like a 2 or 3 punch combination, he would angle off and start move around, never settle down. And I feel like whenever you had someone like Rob against Chito, it was perfect for him, because he's like, Rob would throw a long combination and then sit right in front of him. And then that's whenever Chito would do his work, because Chito hits hard, dropped him and all that stuff. And I think he was kind of waiting for that moment for Corey, but Corey never gave him that option. And the level changes, man, to me, I didn't think Corey was going to shoot, if I'm being honest with you, but yeah, he had a phenomenal game plan. And then Chito started coming back, started finding his timing in the fourth and fifth round. But yeah, no, it was a phenomenal fight. And honestly, both those fights to me are like, they make a good amount of sense, because they're in front of me, you know? So that's like, I'm always
going to say, right there.
They're right mm-hmm. there. Those guys are right there for a title shot. I don't even think that loss really does much to Vera's stock at all, because he's right there. Even his next fight pieces somebody up, knocks him out, then he's right there, like already ready for another title shot, because he's only lost to guys who are the elite of the elite, like Jose Aldo and then Corey, you know. So to me, he's not really out the mix ever. So it's those two guys are up there. So those two would be fun fights. And I feel like style wise, I think both those guys are willing to go out there and get fight of the nights, and I'm always ready for 50K bonuses.
Right.
We like those.
We do. You never really answered the question though. Like who stands out in the like the top, you know, even the top 10.
The
like
top
who knows?
10.
Say you get a win and for sure you're gonna be in the top 10. So like
in the top 10. Yeah, like, honestly, Corey definitely. Corey definitely jumps out. If I'm a call, like if
that
it was
sounds
up
like
to
no,
me,
no fun at all.
Yeah.
Corey that looks Corey's, hard to fight.
Yeah, Corey's definitely hard to fight. But that would be a fun one. That would be absolutely fun, because I know he has that like war stance attitude. Almost like walks in, he's mean. He's like, nah, like I want to fight. That's what I like. Mm-hmm. I like going into a fight, because like same thing with Rob. Rob comes in, he's ready to fight. He's ready to put in, get in your face and start fighting. You know, the point fighting game to me for the longest time, like, you know, I never really liked watching it in boxing, but whenever like you get the brawls like Mickey Ward and Arturo Gatti, like those fights to me like will always right. stick out. So I felt like Corey would give me that, Chito would give me that, and then also like if I'm just aiming straight for the top, like of course Sean O'Malley's that guy, so that would be fun. But the ones that stick out that are really really fucking dangerous is Merab. And you know what? A lot of people don't like to say his name, but fucking Umar. Nobody says his name. No, nobody. Hey, nobody ever says it. Nobody ever says his name. But you know, I
think. How do you feel about that Merab situation, where you know he's the number one contender in the weight class, but his best friend is the champion, so he's going to have to fight somebody else. So, how do you feel about that?
Man, after like kind of like hanging out with him like for about a week or two whenever I went to go train up there with for Aljo to help him for Jan, man, I could see why. They have a really close relationship, they're friends, they're buddies, and I can understand, unless they're gonna get paid like a buku amount of money, like makes like life-changing money, you know, I understand it. But shoot, man, like I remember whenever I was talking to Marab and Aljo, like they both know what I'm in here for. Like I told them, I was like, man, I'm trying to change my son's life. I'm trying to change my family's life, you know? So it's like, if we can be really, really cool. But if the opportunity arose, man, I have to make a shit ton of money. I have to make the shit ton of money so I can go out there and support and change my family's life. You know, that's what I'm in this for. You know, I'm trying to go out there. And if the belt is what it is, you know, for me to change my family's life, then that's what I got to get after. And I feel like the belt fighting each other, I think the belt for them is just like, cool. Their friendship means more to the belt, you know? So I respect that.
I think it's neither of them have children. You touched on it there, Adrian. You know what I mean? Is it just the one son you have?
Yeah, just the one son. Yes, sir.
When you have a child, everything changes. Our producer, Mike Harrington, just had a son at the weekend. Sorry, a daughter, pardon me, at the weekend. But it changes everything. And I think Aljo and Marab, well, listen, Aljo's sitting on top of the bloody world. He's the champ. I think if Marab had children, he would say, listen, I really respect, I love you as a brother, and I respect you so much as a teammate. But I've got children. I've got a family to support, and I'm going to put them above our friendships. I think that would change things. Talking about family, Adrian, and I don't want to bring the tone down and things like that, but whenever I see you and I talk to you, I can't help but think about Sol Solis. You know what I mean? And he was a guy that I have endless respect for. And for those people that don't know, sadly passed away during the height of the pandemic due to COVID. Do you, when you step in there, you know, do you think back? Do you, you know, try and, what's the words I'm looking for? You know, try and represent Sol and everything he stood for and do it partly for him. And this is helps you in your success, helps you stay disciplined between fights because you want Sol to live on throughout your career. If that makes sense, am I wording that correctly? Do you understand what I'm asking?
Oh, yeah, yeah, 100%. Like, yeah, yeah. No, it definitely, because I said it on the lead up to Davy Grant. I was just telling people, it's like, I want to show that his system works and whatever taught me and whatever, like the schedule we're on, that everything like is pretty much essentially the same. We did fine tune a couple things in camp and all that stuff. But everything that I've done and everything that I continue to do has been through like the work of like Sol, everything around him. Like even going back to my strength conditioning coach, Sol introduced me to my strength and conditioning coach that I still work with to this day. And he also introduced me. He introduced me to my striking coach now, Michael Chase Corley, who worked with him like way back in the day. And man, that guy is running like USA Muay Thai and all that stuff. He's really involved in the Muay Thai, so he really understands the game of Muay Thai. You know, so like that's my striking coach. And then my overall MMA coach was somebody who used to be coached by my coach in Eve Edwards. You know, so. Like everything that, like, even now, he still finds a way to still continue to help me. And it's only leveled me up. And I couldn't, if it wasn't for Sol, I wouldn't be in the position I am today, you know? So to me, I'm always representing him at all times. Yeah. You know, it's always one of those things that's always going to stick with me no matter what, you know, he's always there. And then also too, like I'm still going to be hearing the stuff that you used to tell me or tell everybody in the gym, like quit being a fucking spaz, quit being a fucking meathead, like, keep your head completely out your ass.
and then just quickly on that as well, like, you know, obviously for fighters, we get a lot of downtime in between. And how old are you now? You're like 29?
29, yes, sir.
29. It's almost like I got your Wikipedia page open. you know, there's a lot of distractions, and you're a family man, of course. But, you know, in between fights, you know, we're only human. Maybe you go out, you get into a little bit of partying, you know, or whatever. Sometimes if those kind of distractions come your way, do you imagine sometimes Sol's voice in your head, like, I don't know, what he might say in those situations, and that keeps you on the straight and narrow?
Oh yeah, 100%. Yeah, it's super easy for me to kind of get off track. But then I would always get that call that after a fight, it would always be that Wednesday, be like, hey, remember, don't fuck off too much. Don't fuck off too much. And I'm like, all right, cool. Be back in the gym that night after that call. And I'll be like, yeah, I kind of fucked off. Like, good. It's good that I'm back in the gym. That's honestly the best thing that's kind of stuck with me, is that I stay in the gym. That's what, like, I do two a days even out of camp, you know. So like there might, honestly, I hadn't had a fight booked since after my last fight, but I stayed in 2 days doing what I could, trying to help my training partners out. And that was one thing that Saul always preached to me is like, look, they helped you to get here. You know, you helped them to get where they want, where they need to be, or if they help them with their camp, they helped you with you. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to repay it back and do that. So that's the kind of approach that I've been taking this. And it's made it easy for me because I was, I walked into his gym at 18 years old, and by the time I was 27, you know, he had passed away. So like I had like about eight, nine years just with him, and that kind of drilled that into my head. So it's like things that I don't think of. I'm just naturally doing what he's already like put in my head that I'm supposed to be doing.
Well, I think that's a good segue. Like, because you haven't fought for a while and you have been staying in the gym, what do you do in your downtime or when you're not doing fight shit? Like, what do you do for fun?
Oh, my fun is just usually just playing the games, watching. Like, honestly, I used to be way cooler and used to go party a lot more, but now I'm just like, my son's everything. I try to be there as much because he's a month, a year and 3 months. That's fun. Right now he's catching attitudes now.
It's way better when they get a little bit older.
Yeah,
I always felt like we're obsolete as fathers. They're all about the mother, of course, when they're first born, the breastfeeding and all the rest of it. It's only when they get up a bit and they can start crawling and start sticking the fingers in plug sockets and shit like that, that the dad can start to get involved. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah. Yeah. He always had a certain type of love for me. And then like, now it's getting to the point where like he wakes up in the middle of the night, comes to the bed, and next thing you know, I get woken up he wakes up before my alarm goes off, and he just gets up and just slaps me in the face. And he's like, hey, get up. I'm like, all right, I'm up. All right, bro. Why? I can't even get this extra 30 minutes of sleep. You know, so.
Let me ask you, Izzy versus Pereira, 2 or 4, whichever way you look at it. Thoughts on that real quick before we let you go?
Man, that's a really good fight. I had Izzy winning that at like pretty much almost like a clean sweep. But Pereira has that knockout power. It's also kind of whenever you look at that fight, you see Alex Pereira, he has the confidence that he knows he can put him to sleep. So he might take a little bit more chances in the first couple rounds to try to get him out of there earlier. But I feel like that's not the right approach for someone like Israel Adesanya, who's very calculated, very smooth whenever he moves. So I think if Pereira comes in thinking he's going to knock out Izzy, I think Izzy might end up knocking him out.
Love that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Harrington, are you coming at us from this dimension or a parallel universe? Are you there? You need a 4-shot, Harrington. That's because that'll be 4 people. Sorry, this is our producer. He's got a couple of questions for you real quick. Quick fire ones. Quick fire. Rapido responso. He's fucking not there.
He's not there. This is we're running this on a budget. Clearly,
on fumes. We're running on fumes.
You're running this on Windows 2.0, right? Firefox. That's what it is. Yeah, the Firefox.
Mozilla Firefox. We're using LimeWire. You weren't in San Antonio last week, then?
Yeah, I was there. I did a fan experience. I watched the Corey versus Cheeto live. That was fun. That was absolutely fun. The judges and everything there was pretty horrific and terrible.
Yeah, what's going on with your state, dog? What are we doing here?
I had never agreed with the Texas State Commission at all, like ever since I was an amateur. And like they have this one guy, I don't want to say his name because I am not 100% sure if I'll get the name correct, but I've had problems with this guy because he stopped one of my fighter was getting, he got TKO'd, but he let it go on so long. We're trying, like, he has his back towards us and we're trying to get the fight stopped. Everything just kind of goes haywire. They start playing the music, like the fight's over music, and we're still trying to get the fight to be stopped because the fight's still going. He's still getting punched in the face, and like, and we're so almost like the same thing that happened for Fury, the fight before the UFC.
Oh, that triangle.
The guy got triangled, then he gets like his arm snapped and all that shit. Like that was, come to find out, that was the same ref that did that. So yeah, he's already had like numerous things. And also on top of that, there's another judge that's another judge that I don't agree with. Like, he's had fighters, you know, he's had fighters from his gym fight, and his son would be coaching while he's judging, you know? So there's a lot.
There was an issue with the James Krause fight too, where James fought, that was in Houston. James fought.
Same judge.
Yeah. There was a judge who had a fighter whose son was a coach or something like that. And James clearly won that fight and ended up losing a decision. It was a funky ass decision. I do remember that.
Yeah.
We're going to throw some quick fire questions at you. We're going to go tit for tat. Me and Anthony super fast here. They're like, what is your favorite? Okay. What is your favorite MMA fight of all time? Anthony, you're next. Go.
Oh, wait. Favorite fight. So Junior Dos Santos versus Cain Velasquez 3.
Favorite fighter.
Damn, that's a good one. Cain Velasquez. Yeah.
Oh, nice. Nice shout out, Cain. What is the favorite meal or favorite type of food?
Favorite type of food? Fuck. Pizza. I'll go with pizza. There we go.
Oh, I'm going to go weird. Sauna or Epsom salt bath?
You know what? Epsom salt bath. That's just been like, it's been so easy.
I thought you were going to say sauna or ice bath. I'm like, only a maniac says ice bath. Yeah. You get a little tiny penis on you. Favorite film of all time?
Favorite film of all time? Damn, that's a good one. Fuck. I'm all
TikTok.
Yeah, TikTok. You know what? Just because I love the fan service, Avengers Endgame. I love the fan service.
That's a good one. What kind of car do you drive?
I got a Ford F-150.
They're my guy.
Yeah.
There we go. I've got a story. I got run over last week in San Antonio by a woman in a Ford F-150. We'll talk about that in a minute because we got to let you go. But seriously, I don't want to spoil the story, but I got run over by a woman. And then when I almost died, and I'm like, what the fuck, lady? And she stuck the middle finger up at me, honked the horn, and drove off. Listen,
I'm sorry, that was just my feminine hand coming up.
Listen, we know you're gonna go get the kids, so we'll let you go. We could talk to you all day, Adrian. Love what you're doing in the UFC. A hell of a career so far. Massive fight for you next week. All the best. You know, I'm sure everyone listening to this right now is behind you. Rob Font's a solid guy. Nothing bad to say about him. May the best man win, but go out there, give it your all. Can't wait to see the fight. Anthony, any parting words of wisdom?
Yeah, you know, man, I think I told you this in Dallas, man. I'm a big fan of your career, your fight style. I love watching you fight. Anytime you fight, I'm tuning in. So good luck, man, and go out there and kill it.
I'm still a big fan of y'all. This is so fucking cool.
You're welcome here anytime, Adrian. All the best, man.
See y'all later.
Kill it next week. Thank you very much. He's such a cool guy.
He is. He's just cool. He's just got that real chill, low-key, laid-back personality. He doesn't have like that machismo, I'm a big bad fighter, you know? But he's a badass.
I kept interrupting him as well, which, I'm going to get shit for. Let's just take a quick minute to thank our latest sponsor, Manta Sleep. High-level athletes and performers, well, they know quality sleep is the foundation for everything good that happens in life. Driven by that belief, Manta is on a mission to give light sleepers control and mastery over their sleep. With Manta Sleep, you can maximize the enjoyment of life and unblock your potential. The masks are 100% blackout for deeper sleep. They're made of soft, breathable, and durable materials, so you'll never worry about stretching out or falling off. And you can also check this out. Check out the brand new Sound Mask, featuring razor-thin Bluetooth headphones with a 20-hour battery life. So, you know, maybe you need to listen to something as you nod off. You know, you black this face out. You won't be able to see a thing, complete darkness, and you just have a little bit of soothing music. Maybe you want some whale sounds. Maybe you listen to some happy hardcore. I don't know what you listen to fall asleep with, but with the Sound Mask, you can do it, okay? So, by the way, check this out. Manta offers a 60-day risk-free trial and free shipping in the USA, okay? Free shipping, 60-day risk-free trial. If you don't like it, send it back. So go to the website, mantasleep.com. Check out their full selection of sleep accessories. They have body pillows, weighted blankets, sleep machines, everything a light sleeper could need. And be sure to check out mantasleep.com. Use the promo code BISPING. You will get 10% off, the perfect gift for yourself or that light sleeper everybody knows. Manta, sleep better anywhere, anytime. All right, let's get back into it. So I'm in San Antonio last week, and there's it's called HEB, a supermarket. I don't know if that's a chain throughout Tesco. Throughout Texas, I'd never heard of it. I was thinking Tesco, that's a British supermarket. Anyway, I said, I need some waters for the room, which is a pet hate of mine. Give me water in my room. There was one bottle when I checked in. One bottle, I drank it, obviously, and then never got replaced. At one point, I was filling up the water bottle with tap water. You know what I mean? Oh, right. Man. I'm going to have to go for a walk because even in the crappy hotel, it didn't have, they didn't sell water. I was going into the UFC room, the equipment room, and taking bottles of Evian from there. But then on the day of the weighs, they'd gone, they'd shut up shop. It was all, I was like, crap. So I go for a walk, right? I'm walking down the street, and then there's a woman, she's come out, she's at a stop sign. Right, and you can turn right at a stop sign. Mm-hmm. And coming down the street, so she's here, right? Whatever, she's at a junction.
Right.
And there's traffic coming down like crazy. And she's looking that way because she's waiting to see when her opportunity to pull out and turn right is. I'm walking along the street, perfectly entitled. I'm walking past her because she's not moving. Obviously, I'm assuming from her perspective, she's seen an opening in the traffic looking that way, hasn't looked round, slammed on the car, right? And it's a big, massive truck, right? Boom! Hits me. I take it all on my elbow. I fall into traffic. There's cars coming towards
me. Oh, no.
I swear to God, I am not exaggerating. As I fall,
I thought you just got bumped when you sent the text message. I figured she just bumped you.
As I'm going along, I'm going to the street. Well, no, she did just bump me a little bit, but it was enough. It's a Ford F-150 taking off.
It's enough to knock you into traffic, though.
Not because there was no pavement. You know what I mean?
Right.
So she knocks me into traffic, and then a car coming towards me has to swerve around me, right? Thank God. Right, thank God. Anyway, so I picked myself up. My elbow was killing, and her window's down. I go, "What are you doing?" And she goes, "What?" I said, "You just ran into me." She goes, "Oh my God!" As if like I was the issue.
Yeah.
I'm like, "What the fuck?" And she goes, "Fuck you!" Pumps the horn, and then drives off. Right, and I put it on Twitter. I kind of respected the gangsterness of her. Do you know what I mean? She's like an old lady, like in her 60s. And then, she did. And then, as I'm walking into like the HEB, the car park, a car pulls off. She's like, "Oh my, some other woman." She's like, "Oh my God, I saw everything. Are you okay? If you need a witness for police or whatever," I'm like, "No, it's fine. I'm okay. My elbow's a little bit bruised. I'm gonna live. No one's calling the police." But yeah, so that was my interaction in Texas. You ever been hit by a car, Anthony?
No, not on foot. Yeah. That's for sure. Could you imagine the headline? You'd have gotten like real hurt. They would have roasted you on like drunk Michael Bisping. That's what how it would have started. Even though
sober as a judge,
but even though they you know goddamn well you have been pinned as being drunk. They just said drunk Michael Bisping hit by truck.
He was stumbling. Well, I almost got knocked over again because on the Thursday I went for a run. I looked at the hotel and I Google LA Fitness. There's an LA Fitness 3.5 miles away. I thought, oh, perfect. I'll run to LA Fitness. That'll be my warm up. I'll lift some weights and get an Uber back. It was down a freeway, right?
Oh, no.
It was just down a freeway, right? And there was a little, like, bit of grass at the side. I thought, it's okay. I don't care. I'll run along there. I'm ingesting all the fumes. But then the grass ran out. I was literally just on the side of the freeway. I was like,
oh, no.
Yeah, I was destined to almost die by a car accident last week.
Yeah, you just might want to stay out of San Antonio. Yeah, it's not a good place for you. I like it, too. Say, did you go down to the Riverwalk? Yeah.
It's a lot of shit. It's a lot of shit. I'm
really
sorry, San Antonio. It's all right. It's a river.
Yeah. It's a little bullshit river.
It's a little bullshit river with a little bit of paving, some tacky touristy restaurants with a mariachi band outside. You know what I mean? It's four restaurants.
Yeah, it's whatever.
I was like, no, but everyone went, oh, San Antonio, you got to do the river walk. You go, oh, it's amazing. In my mind, I was expecting a river with nature and fields,
well, maybe that's
grass,
you
and trees.
You need to manage your expectations.
I'm like, well, it's old people spoke about, oh, San Antonio, the river walk, bro. Oh, it's
See,
the
I
best.
Guess when I went there, I'd never even heard of it. And then I just ended up there. I was like, well, this is kind of cool. Like, have a couple drinks down here and hang out. You know, not a big deal. But I don't think I would like build it up as this big, huge thing. I thought it was cool, though.
Anyway, Anthony, I hate to break it to you. That was Monday's show, bro.
I know.
You weren't here. Harrington. In fact, what should we do? Should we talk about Harrington's birth experience? Not that he gave birth.
Should.
Or should we talk about Justin Gaethje saying that he's going to quit mixed martial arts from the UFC if Conor McGregor gets the title fight? Where do we go? Two paths.
Harrington's
Your call,
birth.
Anthony.
Harrington's baby's birth.
Harrington, when you gave birth, how did it feel?
I mean, does it look like I gave birth? I still have the baby weight entirely on me.
You just back up a smidge away from the thing. Well, hey, listen, on behalf of me, Anthony, the podcast, the believers, everyone, congratulations, man. All jokes aside, we love you. And what a life-changing experience. Congratulations.
Oh, certainly. It was it was long. It was a whole to do, but it was definitely worth it once I heard her first cry. That was really cool.
And how's Alex? She's doing well?
I mean, dude, she was in labor for nearly 48 hours from Holy the time shit. That her water broke to actually having the baby. And at like 9.5 centimeters dilated, they were like, yep, emergency C-section. So all that was really
dramatic. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy.
It was a little scary there for a second.
She's the one having the C-section, which is getting sliced open. And they remove the baby like Guato from Total Recall. Have you ever seen Total Recall, Anthony?
You know I haven't seen that movie, Mike. Yeah. Damn it.
Of course. You know that he has a little baby face in the stomach. And that's what Rebecca used to say, put your hand on the stomach and the baby would move around. So it's like Guato from Total Recall. That's what we used to call it. Anyway, so they slice her open. I've never seen that done. Did you see that happen, Harrington?
No, so she was very intent on, like, you're not seeing my organs on the table. Like, that's not happening. And it was cool. They had, like, a big sheet up between, like, her, like, you know, basically at her chest down. So you didn't see anything. But at the moment they pulled the baby out, they, like, dropped the sheet. And there's, like, a big plastic window where you could see the baby coming out. And they cut the cord right in front of me. It was pretty cool.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Like, my wife is a nurse. So she's been in the medical field pretty much her whole adult life. She would be the type of person to be like, no, go down there and see the organs. I bet it looks cool. She'd have forced me to look.
I'm going to ask you this, Harrington. Of course, life-changing moment. And we're all thrilled for you. And I'm sure you're going to make a wonderful father. How do you lose your phone when your wife is the one getting sliced up and going through the enduring the pain and the agony? How do you lose your phone? Like, did you not take pictures?
I took plenty of pictures. I had the phone up until this morning. I don't know what happened. I went, like, I took a cheeky little nap. I got a couple hours in there. Like, you know, we were up all night because she's in a ton of pain. So every time she wants to go to the bathroom, I have to, like, get up and help her to the bathroom. And obviously, like, she can't even reach to the bassinet at her bedside, so I have to, like, pick the baby up and hand it to her every time the baby wants to feed. So we were both pretty much up all night last night, and I found a window to get a couple hours sleep, and I woke up and my phone's missing. I have no clue where
it is. Steal it?
Maybe.
I have a very go on.
I didn't leave the room, so I don't know where else it could be.
I've got a disturbing question to ask you. Does it save automatically on the cloud, or are those pictures of the birth gone?
You know, I don't know. I mean, I sent out.
You know what I mean? I didn't want to ask that because I'm like, yeah, obviously that would be fucking annoying of the highest degree.
Right.
For sure, like, the text message conversations will save the photos, and Alex has a ton on her phone already. So I'm not super concerned. Alex, honestly, much better producer, much better pictures taken on her phone. So I'm not concerned with it, really.
Okay.
All right. Hopefully it's just like fell in a crack of the couch or something.
I tore the room apart, but I don't know. Maybe now I got a couple cups of coffee in me. I'll go back and look with renewed vigor, and that'll be that. I can put that mystery to bed.
Well, fingers crossed it shows up. But break down. So,
while we're here, I just got a pretty funky message. It is. I got to confirm it before. I got to make sure it's not just a... If you go to the UFC Instagram page... Harrington, can you pull that up? Go to the UFC Instagram page. Pull up their last post.
Go on.
Okay, it's loaded.
UFC returns to Charlotte, May 13th,
Saturday. Let's go! We got a location.
I've never. Oh, is that your fight?
That's my fight. Yeah.
I've never been to Charlotte, and remember, Stephen Wonderboy Thompson said that that is like the place to go.
Exactly. Hell yeah. Oh,
God damn. Hold on. The reason I'm listening to you, but I'm bringing up. Am I working? I don't think I'm doing that one.
I thought you were.
Yeah, I know. I think I misspoke. This. Hold on.
Oh, okay, no, so you hate me.
Yeah, I hate you. What's the date? 5/23?
No, 5/13.
Not on it.
Well, I guess we have to do a BYM trip there.
But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to come anyway. How about that? Because I've never been to Charlotte. I'm going to go. We are going to go. I'm going to bring the family. We're going to go to Charlotte, North Carolina, the whole Bisping clan. You know why? Because Anthony Smith is fighting and I'm a true friend.
There we go.
As long as flights aren't too expensive.
We could do something fun too, because one of my teammates, he's actually cornering me. His name's Cody Brundage. Cody's
fan. Shout out Cundy. Cody, of course.
Yeah. Cundy. He's actually fighting. He's fighting pretty soon too, but he's, I can't remember the guy's name, but he's fighting that Brazilian, that 85er, the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu wizard. But then he got submitted in like his debut.
Adolfo Vieira?
Yeah, that's who he's fighting, Adolfo. Yeah. Anyways, but his family is from South Carolina, which is like an hour away. That's where he's from. And they got this big lake house with jet skis and all sorts of shit. So we should go there during the fight week. Ride some jet skis.
I'm coming. I'm just thinking in my head right then and there. Lucas is going to take 2 sly days off school because he's going to get sick.
Yeah, you know he has to. He's not feeling good.
Not feeling good. Stephen Thompson said Charlotte is amazing. Have you been there before? You spent time there?
A lot of time, yeah. So when I went and trained with Weidman, you know, it was, I don't know, 3 or 4 times I've gone down and spent some time with him. You fly into Charlotte and his gym is like in a suburb of Charlotte, so. You have really good food. There's really good restaurants. The people are awesome.
I'm coming.
The beach isn't that far away.
I'll be there.
Wonder Boy's gym isn't that far away either. It's just like
I won't be there.
No, I will probably. I'm not going there.
No offense.
Kick you right in the face.
And he's all right. yeah. I'm in pain right now. I went to the dentist yesterday, but we're not trying to segue into that. It's doing my head in. Harrington, tell us about Justin Gaethje. What's he been saying then? So other than accusing me of being biased, we know that. Go on. What's the quote?
So Justin Gaethje said, let me see here. Would I quit if Conor won and they gave him a title shot? Probably. That's how hurt I would be by the actions of the company I represent. But that's out of my control. I just really hope that doesn't happen.
There's a good chance it happens if he beats Chandler.
It's a great chance it happens. To be fair.
It's probably going to happen.
To be fair, Justin Gaethje got a title shot off of beating Michael Chandler. Ooh. And Conor said that. And I don't agree with Conor very often, and I really like Gaethje. So, you know, I like
Gaethje also.
I like Gaethje a lot. But Conor's response is very true that Gaethje did get a title shot off of one win over Michael Chandler.
Did Conor respond already? And that's what he said.
He said a lot of other mean shit, just being an asshole. But that was the whole point.
Is that on Twitter?
That was the whole point of his tweet. So I get being upset because at the end of the day, this isn't basketball. This isn't baseball. This isn't all these other sports that have playoffs, where you get into a situation where your record determines whether you make it to the playoffs. And I had a friend that made this point on his podcast, so I'm stealing it from him. And I just thought it was a great point, but this is a prize fighting sport. And it determines like money and income determine kind of who gets the title shot when it comes to guys that are very similar in places in the rankings. So I get it. I would be upset if I was Gaethje too, but I heard someone say this so I'm stealing this as well. If Gaethje was the champion, he would absolutely want Conor to get a title shot coming off of one win. I think that that's fair. I think that that's a fair assessment. If Gaethje was the one collecting those pay-per-view points, I think he'd probably be okay with it. But in the position he's in now, I cannot disagree with how he feels. I hope he doesn't quit. I think that's a little bit. You know, maybe he was speaking a little bit, tongue in cheek, but
I don't think he would.
No,
I think that's probably just a way of phrasing how disappointed he would be.
Right. But I don't disagree. I would be disappointed if I was him, for sure.
Yeah. But I mean, but you just said it's the best yourself a second ago. There is no champion that would not welcome a fight with McGregor. And if McGregor beats Michael Chandler, that's a legitimate win. The reality is whether it's at 155 or 170, because if he wins that fight, he's got an option at both. And we know Leon Edwards will welcome that. There's not a single fighter. If you are the champion and you're going to get a piece of the revenue, if McGregor fights you, there's not a single one that wouldn't pick McGregor. You know what I mean? Even if you're 185, you're like, well, he has bulked up. You know, he is.
Where would you go if you're Conor?
If I was Conor?
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't go fight Leon Edwards.
You wouldn't?
Because no way.
See, I would probably rather go fight Leon if I was Conor.
That'd be a bad night at the office.
Is it any better than Islam?
Well, Islam's going to take him down and tap him out more than likely. It's a lot less painful than getting beat pillar to post. I'm not saying he would. Listen, McGregor's a great fighter. He's a good striker, and it would be a striking match between the pair of them. But just looking at recent form, you know, you'd have to go with the champion of the goddamn world at a weight class above it.
Oh, for sure. I'm not saying I would choose Leon or I would choose Conor over Leon. I think if I was Conor, I'd probably choose the person whose style is closest to mine. The style fits his skill set better. You know, at least Leon will play that game with him and not shoot takedowns constantly and grind on him and have to worry about getting taken down, because that's kind of, you know, Conor's been taken down repeatedly by every wrestler he's ever fought. He was able to get Chad Mendes out of there after he gassed him, but, you know, I mean, we've seen what, you know, Habib did, and Islam's just an extension of Habib.
I'm just, again, McGregor got him there, though, didn't he? He got him with that comeback. He said, didn't you get a title fight from beating Chandler? I mean, number one, let's forget about the enormous popularity that McGregor has. If you put that out of the equation, and we're talking just on merit alone, all right, granted, he lost his last couple, but we're talking Khabib Nurmagomedov and two losses to Dustin Poirier, one of which you can excuse because of the leg. Do you know what I mean? So when you look at it like that, he's not getting beat off scrubs. And if he does beat Michael Chandler, then on merit alone, you could make the argument, let alone the fact that he's a former two-weight division champion, changed the face of the sport, the biggest star by far, and drives the most business, bar none. And there isn't even a close second.
Chandler was arguably more competitive with Poirier than Conor was in a couple of those situations. You know, Conor did have some big leg kicks, and he was, you know, he put some good shots on Poirier. But Poirier and Chandler were in a goddamn dogfight. I mean, that was in the wrestling, the jiu-jitsu, the striking, and they were in a dogfight. I don't know. Poirier kind of, once he got through the leg kicks and the issues he had there, he was able to knock Conor out, you know?
He did all right. Okay, let's talk about Chalk. More importantly, Chalk Daily. Chalk has created a new natural testosterone booster that is taking the sports nutrition and the natural health world by storm. And that is why everyone is preferring Chalk. Listen. Supplements, they're filled with trash, okay? A lot of them, they're just filled with nonsense. In fact, I said this before, it blew my mind. Jeff Nowitzki said there's nothing to stop supplement companies from grabbing a piece of dirt, putting it in a container, and labeling it however they want until they're challenged in a court of law, which is insane. Well, that is not what Chalk are doing. Chalk uses full disclosure labeling, telling you exactly the amount of each ingredient and they never use proprietary blending. Look, listen, as you're getting older, your testosterone does definitely dip, okay? And you will feel that effect. Maybe you haven't got as much get up and go. Maybe your libido, the get up and go, isn't quite as good. Maybe you're not seeing the effects in the gym. You're putting on weight. You just feel like you're kind of lazy. All of these are signs of your testosterone dipping. And as I say, it's a natural thing, but naturally you can give it a boost by using Chalk Daily. And also you're going to be sure to check out the Male Vitality Stack and the Stack Ultra. Okay. So these are fantastic natural supplements that I highly recommend and give my personal Michael Bisping seal of approval. But even better, when you go to the website, chalk.com, you're going to get 35% off when you use the code Bisping at checkout. So, come on. Get that testosterone. Give it a kick. Give it a boost. You know, feel better. Feel more virile. Feel stronger. Feel in better shape. Feel more energetic. Go to chalk.com. Use the code Bisping. 35% off your entire order. That's Chalk.com. Use the promo code Bisping and better yourself this spring with Chalk. I'm going to tell you a story here.
I like stories.
And we're on the verge. Well, it's not a story. So I'm going to read a headline out to you.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, this, you can call this playing into stereotypes all you want, but this is the story. These are the facts. A South Korean woman was finally given her driver's license after taking the test 960 times. The officials at the exam center were so excited for her that they presented her with a cake. The woman has been making headlines for her perseverance as far back as 2010 and is now in her 80s, but she never gave up. And it paid off. She spent over $15,000 on lessons and tests 960 times. Now, I don't want to hear your jokes about female drivers. I don't want to hear your jokes about Asian drivers, okay? Because they're bang out of order, right? This is a woman. She's stood the test of time. This is a story of perseverance, staying the course, trying her best, not giving up on her hopes and dreams. That's what we should be celebrating here. It's not that women can't drive.
And she believed. And she conceived.
Oh, 960 times. Jesus, and she achieved. Well, she certainly conceived, believed. She had to continue to believe. You got to think that at some point, maybe around 830 times, yeah. You're like
enough's enough. Yeah, Uber.
I'm 80 years old. I'm not even going to live much longer. What's the point?
How do you fail at that often? That's just
960.
I mean, how many years is that?
It's a lot of years, right? 10 years is 3,600. No, 10 years, 365 days a year. It's almost 3 years. It's almost one test a day for the best part of 3 years. It's 360, 720.
3 years. Taking
1,095 in my quick math in my head. 1,095, she did 960. She almost took a driving test every day of her life for 3 years. And then only then did she pass once. Man, she must have been. Could you imagine what she was like on the first one? How bad she was?
Well, just imagine how bad of a driver she is. Like, there's no way she passed it and is all of a sudden a good driver.
The instructor was like, you know what, based upon effers alone, I'm gonna get
in your experience. You've done this a bunch.
You've done it a bit. Oh my god, 80 odd years old. Oh god,
that's insane.
That's wild.
You know, anyway, I never seen my grandma drive ever. As long as my grandparents moved in with us when we were kids at like five to help my mom because she was just a single mom. She died when she was like 94. I never seen her drive. One time. Not once. My grandpa always drove around everywhere. It's wild.
Can she still drive?
Do I?
Can she still drive though? I mean, like, technically, would she be able to?
Would my grandma have been able to? I don't know. I don't know if she knew how.
Is she not around? She's still around.
No, she passed.
Sorry. Pardon me.
Right, yeah, but right. I never seen her. I was around her almost daily from the time I was five till she died and never once seen her drive. It's insane.
My mom is the worst driver ever.
My mom was pretty bad too.
Oh, my mom's awful. She screams all the time. If a car is coming along, it's like, Mom, you're on a road. There's going to be other cars. We would be late for school every day because the car was parked the wrong way around. I've told this story many times. My dad would pull in, he'd be the last one to use the car. He'd walk to work in the morning. So my mom would have to reverse and do like a 2 or 3 point turn. But holy shit, that's a 25-minute affair for my mom. Yeah, and literally, I'd have to go to school every time. I'm like, sorry, sir. My mom said the car was parked the wrong way round. You know, and they wouldn't buy it at all. Yeah.
Yeah. Is your wife a good driver?
Yeah. Yeah. She's not a bad driver at all. You know, obviously, when I'm in there, I'm like, stop driving so close to the car in front. Slow down. Speed up. Stop it. Put the windscreen wipers on. Turn the heat down. What are you doing? Turn left. You can go now. Stop. There's a traffic light. Yeah. So I'm a bad passenger. I'm on a case. Bless her.
I'm the same way.
She does the same to me.
If I see my wife pick her phone up while she's driving, I'll get out. She's a great driver. She starts trying to look at her phone and shit, though, and she might as well be a drunk driver. It's the same thing.
She's
all over the place.
960 times. That's his end. Harrington, what is the biggest story or non-story or story that we haven't got to yet? You follow, go on, Harrington.
Big, big fight just got announced in the featherweight division.
Okay.
Looks like they are trying to book Ilya Topuria versus former title challenger Josh Emmett for a Fight Night main event later this year.
Wow.
Well, that is great. That is great. But when I hear Ilya Topuria's name, I immediately thought of Paddy Pimblett because them two had some stuff. They went back and forth. Have you seen the back and forth between Paddy and Jared Gordon? We didn't talk about this on Monday show, did we, Harrington? I don't believe we did. You see that?
Yeah, I have. What made Paddy so mad out of nowhere?
So he went in and had surgery,
and I seen he had some surgery, and he hadn't really said much about the fight, and the Jared Gordon thing had kind of died down, and no one had really talked about it much. But seems that Paddy fired that up pretty quickly.
I think it's just eating away at his soul. You know what I mean? Because the majority of people feel that he lost. So he went in, because I saw the YouTube video. He went in and he had surgery on his ankle. And when he came round, you know what it's like when you come round from surgery? You're still out of your mind. You're still heavily under the effects of the medication. And you're in a good place. You're feeling good. And here's what he had to say. Thank you, Harrington, for the quote. He says, I want to punch his head in towards the end of the year. I'm going to run it back, lad. I hope he beats Bobby Green, because I'm going to snap his arm in a round. I had a boxing match with him and I still won because you're shit. I hope he watches this. You're fucking dog shit. At my worst, you couldn't beat me at your best. Injured, everything going wrong, and you couldn't beat me on your worst day. And I feel I beat you on your best because you're a little bum. He's trying to make the fight happen again, trying to get the rematch. Do you think UFC will go down that route?
Yeah, I think it's actually a great idea for the UFC. I think it's a fantastic idea. I feel good about that for Jared Gordon, just because he gets the opportunity to run it back. He feels like he won that fight. I think most people feels like he won that fight. Give him another opportunity, because he even said to us when we had him on that he was disappointed because he doesn't think he's going to get an opportunity like that again with a big name like Paddy. So if he can get that one back, I think that'd be fun. Also for Paddy, I think with that performance, wasn't having people clamoring to see him fight, get in fights with big names and tough, super, super tough guys, because it showed that he's got some work to do. He's got some holes he's got to close. He's got some things he needs to really shore up. So, I think running back, it's a fight that we're already willing to do. It's fairly safe for Paddy, because he already knows what he's getting into. It's not another step up in competition, which I don't necessarily think he's quite ready for.
I think, obviously, though, Jared needs to beat Bobby Green. Or do you think, regardless, because he's fighting Bobby Green, it's Bobby Green's retirement fight?
That's a tough fight.
Bobby is electric. It's crazy that he's retiring from the sport. He's been around a long time.
Bobby Green, I wonder why.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, he got caught last time against Drew Dober. So what? Prior to that,
Dober's on a run.
And he was looking phenomenal before that, though. He was piecing Drew up, as much as I like and respect Drew Dober, of course. But that's just the reality of the situation. But he got him.
We should bring him on here and just ask him.
It's a tough one for Jared. We should get Drew on, yeah, for sure. Or Bobby.
No, Bobby.
Yeah. Bobby told me to never ask him to come on the podcast ever again.
Why?
I don't know. He did it on the podcast when we had him on. He's like, I like you, Michael Bisping. I respect you a lot. So that's why I did this. But don't, Harrington, remember this? And he's like, don't ever ask me to come on here again. I don't like doing this stuff. I don't want to do interviews. I did it for you because I like it. But don't ask me to do this again. Harrington's not even here again. Harrington ran off.
I'll be honest. I remember every time we've had Bobby Green on. He's been electric. He's been awesome. Yeah. I do not remember this quote. But if you say it happened, I believe it.
I hope it happened. I'm not imagining it. No, he did. He did. Or maybe he said it to my face. Maybe it was to my face one day. Maybe it was to my face. Maybe it was when we were doing fighter meetings virtually. Maybe it was then. And that's why I'm getting confused. You know, this setting.
Right. Feels the same.
Feels the same. Feels the same. Yeah, look, listen, Paddy's trying to get that one back. I understand that. I think the UFC might do it. I had a very similar situation with Matt Hamill. Crazy close fight. I thought I won, the rest of the world didn't. UFC wanted to run that one back, but I ended up fighting Rashard Evans. And then I lost to Rashard and I moved down to 185. So it never materialized. But yeah, there's a good possibility they will do that because, I don't know, let's look at it like this and give me your thoughts on this, Anthony. Paddy's a very marketable star, you know, opportunity to make a lot of money. If he could go back and dominate that fight, then maybe, you know, it affects his star power. It reignites the star, if you will.
Right.
But also there's the possibility, because it's a real fight, that he loses the fight to Jared Gordon, because the first one was close. You know what I mean? And yeah, fair play. Paddy feels he can do better. We all do as fighters. But if he loses, what happens then? So what do you think? What do you think is the move? If you're the promoter.
I think you run it back because it's already a very competitive fight. So there's not really a big chance of him getting blown out of the water. I think the problem when they were bringing up the Topuria fight is there is a chance that Topuria smokes him and it's not even close. And Paddy looks like he doesn't belong in there. Now you got a big problem on your hands because you got this big, you know, money-making star who now maybe you just found out overnight isn't going to be able to hang with the top guys in the world. That's a problem. I think that was the same risk that Sean Shelby took in the Sean O'Malley, Peter Yan fight. That could have went really bad. The fact that it was just competitive is perfect. The fact that O'Malley won is really good for everyone. Had he got blown out and wasn't even competitive or close, that's a shot to the star. That, you know what I mean? That puts that fire out a little bit. There is the chance that happens with Jared Gordon. If he goes in there and he gets beat, you know, that's a problem.
And it's certainly a compelling fight because there's a lot of interest. There's a lot of talk about it. There was a lot of chatter afterwards. Call it controversy, call it whatever you want. So I think a lot of people would like to see that fight, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I hate to repeat it because it's like I'm ripping on Paddy. I think majority of people thought Gordon won the fight. You know what I mean? So in one sense, it's kind of the right thing to do. But we see that a lot. And not every fight gets remade. You know what I'm saying? So right. I guess we will wait and see. We'll go to questions in just a minute. I know you're in the middle of a training camp, Anthony, so we always appreciate your time because it is. No, I know, but it is stressful when you're in a training camp and doing a podcast in between sessions. So we'll let you go shortly. Harrington. Masvidal was on the MMA show yesterday and he was talking all kinds of things. He was talking crap about Hamza. He was talking about Gilbert Burns. He's very confident going up against Gilbert Burns next weekend. Give us the quote, please.
He said he's going to paint his Van Gogh on Gilbert Burns' face. He said Gilbert is a front runner. He gets out ahead, but as soon as he gets punched in the face, he starts to shrink, and Masvidal is going to make that happen.
Interesting. And what did he have to say about Hamza? Even though that's kind of like ADD all over the place, it's two different topics, but just to save you.
That's kind of a long quote here. He was talking about Hamza versus Colby. He says, I don't give a fuck. They're both pussies. fuck, you missed weight by 8.5 pounds. Get the fuck out of here. And you're still talking about nobody wants to fight you and all this. Go fucking make weight before we talk about fighting, bro. That's the first thing. Don't do steroids and make the fucking weight that you agreed upon as a fucking man. You're going to be missed by 8 pounds and then you're talking cool. You're going to call people out. Get the fuck out. Then I saw him do a comment that he was calling out Alex Pereira. Who the fuck are you? This is the world champion, and you don't even have a fucking win over a top 15 guy. Get the fuck out of here at 185.
So it sounds like Masvidal's fired up. He's angry. He's mad. I think he's angry. I think he's mad because obviously the kind of world of mixed martial arts has stepped over him a little bit. Do you know what I mean? And kind of moved on. He was the belle of the ball in 2019, and now he feels like, well, he's lost his last three in a row. So that's anger to you. It pisses you off. You know what I mean? You want to come back and make a statement. So he's firing out, you know, he's taking it out on everybody.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I don't know if I necessarily agree, but I understand what he's saying when he's talking about Hamza. Like, I'm sure that pisses him off, you know? The Gilbert Burns thing, kind of, I don't get that one. Like, I've never seen Gilbert shy away from anything when he gets punched. If anything, when he fought Khamzat, was the complete opposite. He kind of got rolled over in that first round and then battled his way back to, you know, from he was able to turn away from being the nail and become the hammer there for a little while. And in some people's eyes, I'm not necessarily sure that I'm in agreement or agreeance, but a lot of people thought that there was a possibility that Gilbert won that fight and battled his way back. I thought it was super close. I don't remember scoring it. You know, I don't remember being disappointed with the decision though.
Yeah. Well, I think Masvidal's just trying to tell himself. So therefore by that he's telling the world in interviews and all the rest of it, he's just trying to build his own confidence. And I think he truly believes that. He's one of those guys. We all know what Masvidal's like. Oh, the guy's the epitome of a real fighter. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So he's like, yeah, in his mind, he's going to smash him up. He's going to embarrass him. He's going to knock him out. He's going to leave him in a pool of piss and blood. And it ain't even going to be close. And I truly believe that he believes that.
Oh, for
and
sure.
That's what always makes him dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he goes into every fight believing that. And we've talked about this on here before, that just that self-belief, it's its own weapon. It really is. Yeah. It just, no one else has to believe it. But if you believe it, it almost makes it a thing.
It's a weapon, but it can come back and bite you in the ass.
It'll bite you right in the ass.
I remember, I mean, again, I had no business being in the fight, but I remember backstage before I walked out for Kelvin Gastelum, I'm in China, Shanghai, right left hook, right hand left hook, boom. Boom, boom, hitting the pads hard, getting a good bit of feedback. The sound is echoing around the room. I stop and go, this ain't going to a decision. This ain't going to a decision. Well, I was fucking right. It didn't go to a decision, but it was me that was led on my bloody backside. You know what I mean? So you can feel all the confidence you want. You know what I mean? And
you can feel however you want. You still got to fight.
Exactly. Reality is that's a sick fight, but we're going to save most of those conversations for next week because it's next week. Recently, I partnered with a company called Legacy Precious Metals. Now, I know a lot of people are going through tough times right now, but if you are fortunate enough to where you have a few dollars left over every month to think about investing, then maybe investing in gold and silver through Legacy Precious Metals might be for you. Now, the stock market, if you follow that stuff, it's all over the place. In fact, it's plummeting right now. But precious metals, they've always held their value or even increased. So, of course, that's something that we're all interested in. Doesn't have to be a lot of money. It can just be a little bit because it all adds up over time. Now, if you click the link, there is a guide there. It'll tell you all about investing in gold and silver, or you can give them a call and they will answer all of your questions at 866-933-0317. We'll do a couple of questions, then we'll let you get on your way, Anthony. Right. How beat up are you? How tired are you? I see you yawning a fair bit now.
No, I'm always tired. I haven't been sleeping well the last couple nights. I don't know why. Just can't get comfortable. Then I'm quite cold when I go to bed, so I turn the heat up, and then I wake up in the middle of the night sweating, and you know.
How long until your next training session?
About what time is it?
Go on, say
this one got pushed back a little bit, about an hour.
So you can take a little nap.
Yeah, as soon as we're done here, I'm gonna lay on the couch for a little bit.
How quickly do you think you'll fall asleep?
6-7 seconds.
Yeah. It's like, if you just hurry up and get these questions done lot sooner.
If you have too many gaps in your speech, I might just fucking fall asleep right here.
Yeah. If you got a question, send it to bwampod@gmail.com. Harry and Tony, give the rest of your spiel and then throw a question at us, please.
If you are listening on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you find podcasts, make sure you subscribe. Leave us a 5-star rating. It really helps out on those platforms. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure to subscribe to the channel and you hit that notification bell to find out whenever a new video drops. And if you want to catch over 400 episodes you can't find anywhere else, completely ad-free and uncensored, head to gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use the promo code BYM. Get yourself a 7-day free trial. Check out over 20 great shows on the network.
All right. What do we have?
All right. Here's the first question.
All right. Newcastle here. Got a couple of questions for Mike and Anthony. Mike, your hair's always looking slick. It's always looking good. Is that water? Is that gel? Is that wax? What do you put in your hair, brother, to make it look good? I can't ask you the same question, Anthony made it, because you know it's not looking good. But hopefully you get that transplant. I'll ask you a different one though. Who is your, and Mike, you can chime in on this if you want, your celebrity crush? Personally, I'm a Margot Robbie man, but I'm interested in all your opinions. I don't want you to go in too much detail though, because I know you might get in trouble with the wives. But I'd love to hear it from you lads. Top men, always listen to the podcast in AI. Cheers.
Cheers to you, mate. Looks like you're on a building site somewhere there, driving a JCB or something. Do you know what a JCB is, Anthony? Do you call it a JCB?
No, I look like just, I don't know. No, I don't.
Like a digger.
Oh, okay.
Type thing. Got a JCB. I think it's just a brand.
He looked like he was like in some sort of tractor or something.
Yeah. Sounds like he's from, I'm going to say Middlesbrough from the accent. Away man. The hair, people always go, oh, basically he must have spent ages doing his hair. I just could do it. It takes me 5 seconds. 5 seconds. Bumble and bumble. Sumo clay. A little bit of that.
Sumo clay.
Done. Bosh. Bish, bash, bosh. Done. Margot Robbie would be a celebrity crush that immediately springs to mind, you know, and I can get away with that one. Australian, blonde hair. It's pretty much a bloody, you know what I mean?
Right.
Celebrity crush, Anthony.
It's always and forever, Mariah Carey.
Oh, listen, she used to be, but now she's off the rocker. She's mental these days.
Yeah, but I still got her in my brain as like the young Mariah Carey.
Yeah, but...
You know, when she wrote that 90s. Song, We Belong Together, she wrote that about
Mariah
me.
Carey. Yeah, for sure. But the new version, the fat version, I'm sorry, you know.
Well, I 2023,
in my head, fat's beautiful. Not to me.
In
not
my when, head, when, she's when I still get Mariah 1990s. Carey
on Wish, right? When Mariah Carey gets mailed to my house, I don't want the fat version.
No. The one now is not great. But it's just always been like the 90s version of Mariah Carey.
I'll give another one. Shakira.
Shakira's like 90s version Mariah Carey.
Fucking, we ain't got time machines, bro. You get one night. You make your choice. You get one night. You want Shakira or Mariah Carey?
I don't know. I hear Mariah Carey's a drunk too, so.
We're going to get cancelled for being male chauvinistic pigs. Harrington, what else you got, buddy?
Okay, here we go.
Hey guys, I am Marissa. I'm from Lincoln, Nebraska.
Hey!
I have a quick comment before my question. Week after week, I listen to you guys talk about how you have no female listeners or where's Diana and no female listener videos. I've sent in multiple, and I reached out to Brian not too long ago to ask him why they haven't been chosen. Am I not Diana material? And he asked me if I had the right email. I thought I did, because I reached out to Harrington not too long ago to ask him for the email. He sent me the wrong email. So, hopefully this gets to you guys. It's all right. Anyways, my question is, I'm from Lincoln, and I'm curious as to what your guys' favorite local restaurants are. They don't have to be expensive, they don't have to be fancy, just something that you guys frequent often because you like it. Thanks.
Well, you could probably answer that, Anthony, with a restaurant that she knows.
I could. Yeah, I could. I was actually, you answer first for your favorite local.
Are you going to text?
No, I'm looking it up right now.
All right. Okay. Well, thank you very much. And number one, you look fantastic yourself. I don't think Harrington said your name. So I missed the name. So
I think it was Marissa.
Marissa, that's right. Thank you very much. And Harrington, all right, fair play. He's got a lot on his mind right now, but he's dropping the ball. He's echoing. He's just losing phones.
He's all right.
The podcast on Monday was out late. You know what I mean? It's almost like everyone from Gas isn't around and Harrington's doing it by himself.
Right.
Which is exactly what's going on. So to be fair, let's all give him a break.
Also, you say the email every single episode. That's on her way more than it is on me.
You know what? Can't argue with that logic. Marissa, get it together. bynpod@gmail.com, guys. One of my favorite restaurants, Little Thai Place, took Brian and Harrington there last time we were here. It's literally a mile that way, little parking lot, nothing flash. You know what I mean? Nothing flash at all. Beautiful Thai food. Siam Savory, if you're in the area, fancy a good bit of Thai food. Cheap as chips. Nice. It's very, very, what's the word? Very humble, very un... you know, it's not fancy at all. It's very, it's, right. you know, it's just, it is what it is, but it's bloody good food. And that's what I like about it.
I was trying to think of the place that I always go in Lincoln to watch, like, I don't know, sometimes if the game, the football games, like we'll go tailgate them and then I'll go into the game. And sometimes it's the games are cold and, you know, some of the wives and stuff don't want to sit there. But anyways, we'll go to Brothers, which you'll know exactly where that's at. It's in Lincoln. It's downtown. But I really like going to Brothers and drinking some beers and watching the game and eating some food. It's a good spot.
So now that you've mentioned Brothers and you've given them a free plug and you've essentially told the people of Lincoln, Nebraska, do you get hooked up there? Do you get looked after? And if not, do you think you will now?
I better now. But no, I never have. I never have. There's a little bar that's not that far from Brothers that I like to go to. I've been in a couple fights there, got in a whole bunch of trouble.
I'm jealous.
It's called the Fat Toad.
No. Well, the Fat Toad sounds great.
It's a lot of fun.
I don't have a pub I can go. I don't have a single pub or a bar in this area.
This is like, she lives in Lincoln, which is about 45 minutes from my house. I have there's a couple low key, really divey bars right by my house. I wouldn't even mention them here because I don't want anyone else to go there.
yeah. No, like that's what I mean. Like a proper, like in England, the proper pub, right? Mm-hmm. And I know we don't have pubs in the States, but still bars, right? There's no real dive bars by our house. There isn't one. I would love one. You know, every time it
should open one
occasionally. I talked about this recently to my next door neighbor, and I'm going to do it.
It's very
expensive. I think I'm going to do it. Mikey B's British Bar. No, and you know, like on the very, very rare occasion when me and Rebecca have an argument, because it happens, it's married life, I storm out of the house, I jump in the car, and I'm like, where am I going? Where am I going? If I had a pub I frequented, I would be going there and I'd sit and have a beer. And I remember, I have to go, there's like a BJ's. It's the closest thing to a pub. You sit at the bar, you know what I mean? It's the family bloody crap place. I hate it. I don't hate it. It's all right. But that's like the closest place I can go to. And I was sitting there and you know, the argument continues, you know, and you're all
through text.
Through text. And I'm, the blood is boiling. The blood is boiling. And I'm giving off a vibe. Don't approach me. Do you know what I mean? And someone walks up. Oh, hello there, sir. Sorry to bother. I'm like, you fucking are. You are. You are bothering me. Okay. Anyway, and then I felt really, really bad. So I tried to find the guy to try and go and apologize to say, listen, I'm sorry, dude. I'm in the middle of an explosive argument with my wife. And I don't know, I took it out on you for a second and I'm really, really sorry. And I did. I walked around the restaurant trying to see if I could see him and I couldn't see him. And then we'll end the show on this because I know you got to go. I get a call of Callum the next day. He says, did you kind of tell someone to go to hell in a restaurant the other day in BJ's? I went, yeah, I kind of did. Yeah. He said, it used to be one of my wrestling coaches. He was coming up to see how I was doing. I was like, oh shit. No. I'm like, please tell him I was sorry. I was just having an argument. We all have bad days, guys. You gotta remember, it's okay to have a bad day, you know?
But you shouldn't take it out on other people, Mikey B.
I shouldn't. No, I know, but I was arguing my head off. Do you know what I mean? Okay,
just try to play in the silence. Keys. Just, you can hear each button.
Sounding like this,
just madder than hell.
Oh shit! I'm very sorry to that guy if he ever sees this. Anthony, we're gonna let you get some sleep, brother. Mm-hmm. Thanks for joining the show. I know it's not easy when you're training for a fight. And you guys will be back on Monday. Big thanks to Adrian Yanez. Thank you very much. And yeah, that's the show.
Let's do it.